This is from Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within, and they defile a person." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, the church has been thought of as a lot of different ways. For centuries, people thought of the church as a ship, taking God's people through and over the tempestuous seas of life and time to the shores of forever. I've made illustration of the ship as being a battleship, all hands on deck. I've lamented that sometimes the church looks more like a Carnival cruise liner where everyone's having a lot of fun and there's only a few people doing all kinds of things behind the scene, killing themselves. Have you ever thought of the church as a heart hospital? Anybody? A place where important heart surgery is done, where important heart health care is provided. Anybody ever think about the church that way as being a heart hospital? Yes, the church is a spiritual heart hospital. I want you to think about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Plano, Texas, as a heart center, not just any kind of a heart center. We're not competing with other hospitals in Plano that are focusing on heart health, not the way we are. We're thinking about it differently. We're thinking about it according to our Lord's own words. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is revealing what he's come to do, God in flesh and blood. You see, there's a controversy. There's an argument going on. It started with the Pharisees saying to Jesus, "Why are your disciples not following our rules? Why are you messing with our church? Why are you messing with our tradition?" The tradition of the elders. I mean, it's ironic to think that God shows up in flesh and blood to rescue his church, and the church doesn't want anything to do with it. You see, they don't understand what it means to be church, what it means to do church, and what the church is all about. And Jesus is, in a way, turning on the lights. He's helping them understand. The problem is that they're not wanting anything that he is giving. And today, we're at the end of this controversy, at the end of Mark chapter 7. And even the disciples are struggling what Jesus is talking about. You see, the church in Jesus' day thought that if they didn't do this and didn't do that, if they didn't eat that and they stayed away from this and they followed these practices, they would be acceptable to God. In what they did, they would have salvation. And what Jesus was doing throughout his ministry is telling them it's not what they can do that saves them, it's what God has promised through the Messiah and what the Messiah would do. And now Jesus, the Messiah, is on the scene and the church doesn't like him because they've misunderstood what it means to be rescued. They didn't understand the kind of condition they need to be rescued from. And so Jesus is giving the diagnosis today. And it's a pretty important diagnosis for us to understand. It starts out this way, back in Genesis. And this is pretty profound. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's pretty deep. You know, in our culture, we're used to thinking about, you know, head and heart. We think with our heads, we feel with our hearts. But in the scripture, the cardia and the lavab in the Hebrew, they're one thing. It's the seat of our human emotion. It's all that automates and motivates us. It's where emotion is and reason resides. The heart of the matter is the problem in your life and my life. And as much as René Descartes and the philosophers of the Enlightenment separated head from heart, we're still trying to get it connected again. In the scripture, it's one thing, and it's in trouble. You have a hidden heart condition that affects everything in your life and mine, and it's a mess. Jesus explains it this way: from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts. And then he gives this laundry list: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, slander, pride, envy, foolishness. All these evils come from within and they defile a person. Yes, that's what happens in me. Yuck. And it happens in you. And this is our condition. We'd like to say it's a silent killer, but it's not very silent in my life. And I'm sure it's not that silent in yours either. The danger in your life and my life is we look at the conditions that others have and we think they're in worse shape than we are. And yet this is just the condition of us all. We have major heart problems. It doesn't matter what your heart doctor says about the organ in your chest. You've got issues and so do I. And there is no way that we can save ourselves from this. You know, when Jeremiah was finishing up his seminary training for being a prophet, in a time when the church was experiencing all kinds of luxury, and yet their life as a church was almost totally dead, Jeremiah was being trained on the condition of the human heart. And it's interesting. Jeremiah says, after, you know, he hears about the human heart condition in chapter 17, he says, "Heal me and I will be healed. Save me and I will be saved." No wonder King David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," because he knew that only God could do it. And so whether it's David saying, "Create in me a clean heart," or "Save me and I will be saved, heal me and I will be healed," that's your prayer, and that's my prayer as well. It's interesting. To Ezekiel, God said, "I will replace your heart of stone and give it a heart of flesh." God's purpose is to come to our rescue and fundamentally give us a heart transplant so that we are more than this. In our Lutheran theology, we've systematized these concepts, these biblical concepts, and we've called it the doctrine of original sin, what we're born with, what everyone deals with, this propensity toward this heart condition. It's the doctrine of original sin. We're born with it. And then we explain how it makes itself manifest in actual ways. And Jesus gives us one of the laundry lists in the New Testament about how it all makes itself manifest. And we call this condition, in our Lutheran theology, concupiscence. It's like a spiritual gravity. I mean, why do we have to tell our children, why do we have to teach our children to tell the truth? Because they're just good at wiggling out of things. I mean, it's just amazing how we can just squirrel out of things. Why do we have such problems with pride, greed, lust, and the list goes on? Because we're just good at it. We're just good at it. It comes natural to us. It's our condition that we need to be rescued from. In the waters of holy baptism, in the meal that God gives us, in the message of Jesus and his love for us and his willingness to go the way of the cross. I mean, think about it. So this is our heart condition. It makes itself manifest in big ways and little ways, and God knows it. And that's why Jesus came. He came to do more than talk about diets for your bellies. He came to talk about real heart health for now and forever. And that's what he came to do. How does it go, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith in Christ gives us the cure. What Jesus did for us on the cross and came out of the grave victorious from, as we hear that good news of forgiveness, we are given the cure that changes our lives fundamentally. Here's how Paul said it. And let's read it together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because of what Jesus did, think about it this way. The great physician came to give the cure, and on the operating table of the cross, he willingly gave himself, because that's what would be necessary for us to have the transplant. And he willingly did that. That surgical procedure, so that all the ways that we've had heart attacks, I mean, think about it this way. You know, when Jesus gives this list, these are the signs of spiritual heart attacks. So how many kinds of spiritual heart attacks can we have in the course of a day? Right? When we're angry, when we're fearful. How many spiritual heart attacks do you have that you really like for a while and then you realize how wrong it was? Right? And so all these ways that you and I have had all kinds of spiritual heart attacks that have affected our lives and the lives of those around us, Jesus took with him to the cross so that we would be given the cure. The cure for all the ways that our heart condition gets the best of us. And now, because of what Jesus did, we have peace with God. The next time you have a spiritual heart attack and you realize, you can say, Lord, gosh, I've done it again. Forgive me for this spiritual heart attack. I'm sure glad you're good with me. I mean, if anybody could have a heart attack over us and say, I'm finished with you, it'd be God, but he doesn't. Because of what Jesus has done, we have peace with God. Paul goes on. Let's read it together. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Boy, I just love Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. So now, because we've been saved by God's grace in Christ, even when we go through challenges, it's just our healthy heart exercise routine. Knowing that the difficulties we go through, we're learning from them. We're learning what it means to be patient. We're learning what it means to respond differently. We're learning how to not have spiritual heart attacks like we used to. We still have some, but not as much. We're learning what it means because our hearts have been changed. I mean, I just love it because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. To the very core of our problem, God has poured the cure, His love, and His Spirit. So you and I are different. We are made new. Our hearts, wherever that heart is, beats differently. Jesus pours His forgiveness and His love and His hope and His peace into us, and our hearts beat differently with a desire to love and forgive and help and be of service to those around us. How does Paul say it? This is beautiful. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's now possible for us to see a spiritual heart attack on its way. Oh, I'm getting angry, or I'm getting sad, or I'm looking a little too long at that woman at the mall dressed in the way I like it too much, and I'm going to look the other way. I mean, how many different ways can we see the heart attacks coming? Because God has shown His light into our hearts so that we avoid some of those spiritual heart attacks because of what God is doing within us by the power of His Holy Spirit. You know, when we're aware of this condition, we realize how much we need to receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Now that's good heart health medicine. When we think about what kind of condition our hearts can be in, no wonder it's nice to read a devotion every once in a while. Hear a song on the radio. Sing a song, maybe out of tune, to ourselves. How wonderful it is to be able to be encouraged by the people around us who have the medicine to share. Because this is really what it's about. You know, in Proverbs 4:3, I don't know what translation this must be ESV. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life. I think this is the New King James Version. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You process all of your life with your heart. The way you think about things, the way you want to talk about things, you process everything with your spiritual heart. And so it's no wonder that Solomon says, guard your heart, keep your heart. It's Shema. I mean, you put on the spiritual armor of God, not only for the battle out there, but for the battle you have to face within yourself with yourself. And so, no wonder we're told to guard our heart with all diligence, understanding that how our heart's processing everything affects all the issues of our life. And we want to make a difference in our life. I want to make a difference as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a brother, as a neighbor, as a citizen, as a pastor. Because God has poured His love into my life. And you feel the same way in your own life. And the challenges that our hearts get in the way, so many ways. And yet the cure is ours in Christ. And when we need to apply that cure to whatever's going on in our spiritual hearts, we can do it by faith. Lord, I've done it again. Lord, I'm trusting in You. Lord, how do I solve this? Or how do I address that? That's what guarding our hearts look like. And that's why we call the church a heart hospital. Not only where we're celebrating what Christ has done to change our hearts, but also applying that medicine when we need it. You know, I call it the rhythm of faith, where we are learning to guard our heart, recognizing our bad thoughts and our words, and then trusting in the gospel, and then following Jesus closer, knowing that His way through whatever we're dealing with is the best way to go through whatever we're dealing with. But this is more than just heart health for ourselves. Yes, we need to receive the medicine, and that's why we gather here on a regular basis to study it, to hear it, to sing it in our our praise songs, to share it with each other when we're having coffee, to receive it in the meal that Christ has given to us so that we can have good heart health. But keep in mind, St. Paul is a mobile heart hospital because we don't always stay here. We scatter. Think about it. You're like a mobile heart hospital unit where wherever you go, you can apply the medicine to those around you who need it as much as you need it yourself. And maybe when people are going through spiritual heart attacks, you can get them off the edge by telling them about God's love when they've blown it and they admit it. I know we're not used to thinking about the church this way, but certainly as we hear what Christ says and as we think about the big picture of God's word, certainly it's a good conclusion to draw, understanding that our heart health is important to God. And it's all about the forgiveness that God has for us through his Son. The forgiveness that we receive and the forgiveness that we share. Now, we might still want to think about the church in all kinds of different ways. And I frankly kind of like the battleship image. But today, let's think about it as a place where we are being healed. And where we are growing. And where we are caring for those around us that have the same condition that we have. And what a wonderful reality it is to know that God cares about that condition and that he has poured his love to the core of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, even in that blessing, it's all about health, heart health. Amen? Amen.